As Mark mentioned earlier, it is the title called by God, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 10 is where we're going to take up the reading. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And you can see in verse 9 about being called by God. Now suppose for just a moment, I think we all understand what called out means, but suppose just for a moment, I'm out in the yard, Martha's in the house, and she said, "Can you come here for a minute?" Well, no, she's in the yard, I'm in the house. She says, "Can you come here for a moment?" Well, and I hear her, join her in the yard, I've been called out. That's an easy way of looking at it. We all understand that kind of thing. But whenever that happens now, I'm completely out of the house. Not partially, but completely. One of the things that you find all along this about being called out is in Matthew chapter 2, which I think helps get the concept across. It was a time whenever Herod was looking for the Christ child, and he killed a lot of children, but they got away, and it tells us this, it's in 13 through 15, when they had departed, that is, departed from where Herod was at, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Now watch this part. "And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Out of Egypt. You know, whatever God called the family there out of Egypt, they went all the way out of Egypt. Not just partially, not just halfway, all the way. And when we talk about being called by God, it's to be called all the way. It's an all the way thing. So let's just consider some of the things associated with being called by God. The first one's kind of easy. We ask a question, who calls? And obviously, the answer, which we've already pointed out here, is that God is the one who does the calling. That you see in verse 10 of our reading. But then we see in a number of other places things that are along the same line. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." And I've got up there 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 Timothy chapter 1, excuse me, verses 8 and 9. "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose,
and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. These aren't the only places where it mentions being called by God, but they are a couple of them. And so we can get the idea. Now, the thing is, how does God call? And over the years, there's been lots of things that have been said. Oh, well, this is how God calls, that He calls by signs or some still small voice or some experience. Or how about something better felt than told? Used to hear that a lot a few years ago. Well, all of those things are suggestions, but they don't really answer the question because you don't have a whole lot that can back that up. But what you can back up when you ask the question, who calls, you can come up with an answer and you can back up an answer. When you say that God calls here through the gospel, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we go back to Jesus in John chapter 6, and verses 44 and 45, where Jesus is talking about those that are called, He will draw all men to Himself. He's going to call them, and they will be called through the words that are taught. So we think about that, and we can understand who does the calling, but then there comes the next thing, and that is the nature of this calling. What kind of a calling is it? Well, first of all, the answer is very simple, that it's a spiritual calling. And the benefits are spiritual. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it talks about that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And if we look at a number of places where we can find this idea about calling, and look at some of the things that are said by way of comparison. Now, we did read just a few moments ago from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Called out of darkness into light, you are not a people, but you are a people. Called without mercy and into mercy. So just think about that for just a moment and those kinds of things. So you're out of, from being really essentially nobody, and out of darkness where there was no mercy, and you're called into being somebody, into light, marvelous light, and into receiving mercy. So all of those things we can see by way of contrast and what the call by God accomplishes. Now, if we go over then to Acts chapter 26 and take a look this time at verse 18, where Paul here, giving a defense of himself, says that he had been sent to the Gentiles in verse 17 to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of God or power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Well, they were called again by the gospel, and what happens here? Well, they were called out of being blind, out of being in the possession of Satan, out of sin, out of nothing being the result of all this. And into what? Well, into open eyes now, and into the possession of God, sin being forgiven, and from nothing to an inheritance. One more comparison like this in Ephesians chapter 2 this time. And if you turn over there, Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to take a look at verses 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 13. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So what all is accomplished here? What's been changed here? Well, you're out of being hopeless and godless and Christless and homeless. Kind of a pitiful situation, isn't it? But then you're called into having hope, having God, having Christ, and having a home. The home being the church now, and then heaven in the future. So the nature of this calling, and all the things we looked at by way of comparison, are all things that are spiritually related. Now another thing to consider is, how do we respond to this call? Well, as we pointed out earlier, the call is through the gospel. So what we do is we respond through gospel requirements. And I think that a lot of us, we know what they are. You're supposed to hear the gospel. They went out preaching the gospel to every creature, all creation. And they are to believe in the gospel. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, being the Messiah, you will die in your sins. Then we are also supposed to repent, for Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. We are to confess Jesus before men. He'll confess us before the Father who's in heaven. And then we come over here to where there are those that are to be baptized. You believe, you are baptized, and the result of that is salvation. That's how we respond to this call, the call by God. Now, we'll come back to this in the invitation in a short while. And a lot of times, I think people get the idea, well, now this is what we do, and then we're pretty well just done. There's not much else that's required or necessary or anything like that. And I think that's what happens. I think a lot of people get that idea. I don't think somebody's deliberately putting that idea in people's heads, but I think sometimes, somehow or another, they get that idea. And so they don't think that there's anything else after this. You know, you're baptized and it's pretty well over. But we find out in the scriptures that there is more that's required. And one of the places where we find something like this is in 2 Peter. So turn to 2 Peter. And we will take a look at chapter 1. And 2 Peter chapter 1, and in particular, we're going to look here in just a moment at verses 5 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. These passages are the ones that tell us we must continue to make our calling and election sure. So there is something more that's required than just the initial steps of obeying the gospel. In verse 5 through 11, for this very reason, giving all diligence, you add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. If these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. When you go through this, you kind of look at these things, and when you are to add to your faith, that tells us that faith doesn't stand still. It keeps moving. It keeps growing. It keeps on the increase of things. And so if these things are in you, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful, it says then in verse 8. Now, if these things aren't in you, then you will be barren and unfruitful. If you lack these things, you see what the outcome is. So, there's a need to make your calling election sure. Now, if you don't make your calling election sure, if you don't continue after this, if you come along there with the steps of salvation and you're baptized, then you just drop off, drop out of the picture, however you want to look at it, well, what happens then? Well, then you will stumble. It says if you do these things, you won't stumble, but then you will unless you make your calling and election sure. After obeying the gospel, we are expected, says over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, to be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Someone who does something has a product, a result, workmanship. That's the idea behind that word, a finished product. And so we become the workmanship that is created in Christ Jesus. And then we, for good works, and we show those good works. We become a demonstration of them. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 18, we are to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. So we see there that it takes more, takes an increase, requires more effort on our part. There was a time when Paul met some of the brethren as he was traveling back to Jerusalem. He stopped in a little place called Miletus. He couldn't stop in Ephesus. Ship wasn't going to Ephesus. But he was close enough that the brethren from Ephesus, a number of them, came down where he was at. And he has a meeting with them, and as the meeting that he has with them closes, in verse 32, he says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the work of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." It's so much strengthening our faith, building us up in the most holy faith. You know, a person that goes along and they go so far, as we mentioned earlier, two or three times now, a person goes along so far and then stops, then there's no building up, there's no strengthening, and it's sad. And sometimes, you know, you see that kind of thing. But this is intended, as Paul said there, to continue to do this. We're supposed to be making our calling and election sure. We're to become steadfast and immovable, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I think if we're always abounding in the work of the Lord, then we're doing something. We're doing the right things. And that, as a result, will end up with our being steadfast and immovable. Now, the gospel call, as we looked at earlier, and we looked at hearing and believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, the gospel call goes forth today. It continues. It hasn't changed. Nothing's been added. And we encourage anyone today to respond to this. We encourage everyone to consider the things necessary to become a Christian, but also to consider those things to do once one is a Christian in making the calling and election sure. It's a great and wonderful thing to realize that God calls us. What an honor it is to receive such an invitation, an opportunity like that. And when we take that opportunity, grasp hold of the invitation, we should do everything necessary to ensure that we do it the right way. We'd be glad to help anyone tonight to do the right thing by obeying the gospel or by perhaps the prayers of the saints. Whatever the case might be, we encourage you to come. All together we stand and sing.